Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." We always have access to this joy, right? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, which is gifted to us through our life in Jesus. He is our source of joy. He is the reason we can choose to be joyful in any circumstance. I think of Paul while he was in prison. He still had a joyful attitude and a positive perspective because Jesus, who is our joy, lived in him. And he also lives in us. So be strengthened this morning with the joy that is the Lord.
Rejoice. song of ages to them, and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to them. Your name is the highest.
Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You know, worshiping is not only singing, it's our prayer life. And it's our daily laying down of our lives, giving Him everything. That is your worship. He is worthy of everything, of all the glory, all the honor, all the power, and all of our praise. He is worthy. our praises, our worship to him. He wants us to praise him day and night, night and day. Don't you want to reach the heavens?
Today, I want to focus in on one verse, Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. As I get older, I've noticed this phenomenon that's happening more and more in my life, and I don't know if you've experienced it. I'm 50, but I will have these things that all of a sudden come up in my life, these events, and I will go to my wife. I'll be like, oh, I didn't know we were doing this today. And she will say these words to me that have blown me away. I told you about that. I told you about that multiple times. It's in the calendar, right? And I'm thinking to myself, I have no recollection of her telling me that, right? And so I'm asking her, was I awake when you told me, right? Did I respond when you told me? Because I'm just thinking maybe she just thought it in her head, right? I don't know. We've had this discussion. Like we've wondered if she just speaks at a certain wavelength that I have tuned out sometimes. I'm not exactly sure, but if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you may in a little while. But she assures me that she did tell me these things, and that's concerning because I have ears. I have two of them, right? But they don't seem to work all the time. Apparently, the same thing that happened to my wife also happened to Jesus. Because there's this phrase that he repeats time and time again in the Bibles, 8 times in the Gospels alone. Here's the version found in Matthew 13, 9. Whoever has ears, let them hear. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not a believer and you get this, this can transform your life. I'm going to tell you, if you are a believer and you truly get this, this can transform your life as well. That's the power of the Word of God, right? Jesus would usually say this phrase after he spoke a parable. Once he was talking about the cost of being a disciple when he said this. This phrase also occurs 7 times in the book of Revelation alone. Jesus writes or gives 7 letters, 7 different letters to 7 churches. And at the end of every one of those letters, he says this: whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. To everyone in here, the Word of God comes to us verbally through preaching and teaching. We hear the very words of God, right? It can come to you if you are in the Word, you are reading it yourself. God can speak to you through what you read, right? It comes in our prayer time. It comes when the Holy Spirit puts something on our heart, tells us to do something or tells us not to do something. That is the very Word of God coming to us. The Word of God comes to us all. That's not the problem. The problem is we don't always have ears to hear it. When Jesus walked this earth, people heard him audibly, but not everyone had ears to hear. And some people missed the very message directly from the Son of God. They missed that truth that he had. They missed those promises. They missed his teaching, right? Some people wondered, why is this Jesus talking about farming? Why is he talking about different soils and planting seeds, right? Because they missed what that parable was talking about. I just don't get what he's talking about. I used to actually think that people heard every word that I preached when I preached to them. And then I would have conversations where I realized they did not hear that, obviously. I should have known, because look at how much stuff we miss with announcements, right? I don't know how many times I hear people, they'll come into church that day and we're doing something. There's going to be somebody who shows up on Grandparents' Day and has no clue that it's Grandparents' Day, right? They're going to be like, oh, I didn't know you were doing that today. Well, we announced it for 3 weeks. It's in the bulletin. It's in our emails. We were trying to get it out. We sent texts out. I don't know how you could have missed it, but it just happens, right? I'm not going to mention any names, but there are people who put stuff out on our social media that the very stuff that they push out, they don't hear it. They don't realize what it's saying, and they're caught off guard by that too. This verse has big implications. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Why is this important? It's purely because our God is a God who speaks. Our God speaks to us. That's what I mean. When you get this and you realize this, there is a God who's real and he speaks to us, and you have the opportunity to hear his very word, it can flip your life upside down. It's one of the first things we learn about God in the Bible. Genesis 1:3 says this: and God said, let there be light. He said it, right? And there was light. God spoke, the Bible says, creation into existence. He is a God who speaks, right? Genesis 3:8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The word sound there is also translated voice. Then the man and his wife heard the voice of the Lord. Adam and Eve enjoyed a face-to-face relationship with God where they were able to speak to him. In Exodus 19, God is speaking to Moses, giving him the Ten Commandments. The people hear this as thunder and a trumpet, right? And the Bible says they trembled in fear. They were hearing God speak to Moses. In Exodus 19:19, it says this: the people said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die, right? That was the power of a God who speaks. They were scared to hear his voice. God spoke a very different way to the prophet Elijah. 1 Kings 19:11-12, the Lord said, go and stand at the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in a fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. God spoke in that still, small voice. God's voice can shake mountains. God's voice comes as a whisper. What is incredible is that our God speaks to us. God, or man-made gods, gods of wood and stone, gods that we've created, they don't speak. They never will speak. But our God, he speaks. The question is, do we have ears to listen? Do you realize that? Are you looking for that? Are you waiting for that? Are you longing for that? He'll speak to you. In the Old Testament, God would call on his prophets to bring his message to the people. Those prophets would often say, this is what the Lord says. If you read the Old Testament, you'll find that phrase 413 times. There were 413 occasions where God called his prophets to speak to not only his people, but all people. Between the Old and the New Testament, there's a period where of 400 years where God is absolutely silent. That was broken, though, with the birth of John the Baptist. John would speak these words in John 1:23. He said, I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Notice John wasn't the voice himself, right? He was the voice of the one. The voice of God calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. Do you remember how Jesus is described in John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The verbal was with God. The verbal was God. John 1:14. The Word became flesh. The Word, the verbal, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus is God's revelation to mankind. He speaks to us, and God's Word took on flesh so that we could hear it straight from God himself. We see this with the Holy Spirit. After Jesus' death and resurrection, the believers were gathered together in one place. Acts 2:2-4. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to do what? Speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled him. The Spirit of God came upon people. And God's word was proclaimed in different languages so that all the people from the different areas of the world could hear his words in their own language. For the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about an astonishing God, right? About a Holy Spirit that comes upon people and enables them boldly to proclaim the word of God to people. Our God is a God that wants to communicate with us in many different ways. People think, we just don't hear God. No, it's we just don't have ears to hear. He's speaking in many different ways, but a lot of times we have calloused hearts. A lot of times because of the things that have happened in our life. But he longs to soften your heart. He longs to speak to you. And if you ask him, he will. If you listen, you will. When you understand this, it changes how you live. It changes how you pray, right? If you don't know this, your prayer time is just going to be you asking for things. You asking God to do this and to take this away and just you spending all your time talking. And then when you're done talking, your prayer life will be done. But if you know that God speaks, you'll spend the majority of your prayer life listening. Asking him to speak to you, to communicate to you. Lord, right? Lord, speak to me. What do you have for me today? What are you doing today? What do you want me to be a part of today? What do you have to say about this that's going on in my life? If you'll stop and you'll take the time and you'll seek him, the Bible says you'll find him. He will speak to you. But we're so busy, we're Americans, right? We've got stuff to do. We got to get to this, right? And we're not willing to spend the time waiting for him to talk to us. And we miss out. When you realize this, you read your Bible differently, right? You'll pray, Lord, speak to me through your word. What do you want me to realize? What do you want me to hear through what I'm reading today? Oh, open my ears. That's what we normally pray in our services, right? That's what I pray when I read my Bible. Open my ears so that I hear it, so that I don't miss it. I guarantee you that if you ask God to speak to you, he will. You may not believe in him. You may not think he's real. Can I challenge you? Ask him to speak to you. And listen. Spend time in listening. I guarantee you, he will. He'll speak to you through teaching, through preaching, through prayer, through what other people say, through your parents, through other believers. Why? Because he is a God who speaks, pure and simple, right? That's not the question. Do we have ears that hear? I think if we do this, we'd have more peace in our life. A lot more peace. Give God an opportunity to speak to you. Can I challenge you with that? Purposely take time and provide space. Turn the TV off, turn the music off, turn everything off, and just ask him, Lord, I don't even know if you're real. Would you speak to me? Or, Lord, I know you're real, but I feel like I don't hear you. Would you speak to me? And I guarantee you, he will. Don't be too busy, right? Listen to this in Jeremiah 6:10. This is God speaking. To whom can I speak and give a warning? This is God. To whom can I speak and give a warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. God is looking for somebody to speak to you. God is looking for somebody who has open ears, somebody who will listen, right? The word for closed, when he's talking about ears, is actually the word uncircumcised. Do we have ears to hear? Because God is looking for people that will listen. Let me say that again. Do you have ears to hear? Because the God of the universe wants to speak to you. Do you know how radical that is? I want to look at what happens when God does speak. It's really similar to a GPS system. If you have one of those or use one of those, right? That system will give you direction. That system will tell you where to go, especially at first, right? But then there comes a time where it'll go silent. Maybe you're on the same road and you're just going, and maybe you have some twists and turns on that road. Maybe it's curved, and there comes a point a lot of times where you wonder, am I still on that right road that I should be on? I haven't heard anything in a while. That's okay, because you know that before you're required to make a turn, he'll speak to you at that time. It's the same way with God. God gives you a direction, stay on this path. And you may not always hear him on that path, confirming that you're on that right path, but you can be sure that when it's time to turn, he'll let you know. Turn on that next road, right? But you have to be listening. You have to have ears that will hear, ears that are tuned into him, ears that are giving him opportunity to speak, right? If the music is blaring, the windows are down, you might miss it. If you're too busy, if you don't give it any time, you might miss it. If you do get off track, if you do make a wrong turn, the Holy Spirit will be sure to correct you. God will speak to you. God will let you know, right? Even before you make that turn, God will provide a warning. Hey, no, you do not want to go down that road, right? Will we have ears to hear? The peace of God is the confirmation that you're on the right road. You don't need him always to audibly tell you. He gives you a peace when you're living when you're keeping in step with him. As you're navigating life, though, you have to train yourself to listen to hear his voice. I think one of the best examples of this is Abraham and the test that God gave him. You remember that test? It's found in Genesis 22, verses 1 to 2. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, he speaks, right? God speaks, Abraham listens. Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Notice the test, right? Notice God gave Abraham direction, but he didn't give him all the details. This is how God does it. I want a detailed map. I want all the stops labeled. I want a packing list. I want a time frame. I want a weather report, right? But he often only gives us a direction. Go to this mountain, I will show you. Which mountain? How long is it going to take, Lord? That's what I ask, right? How much food will I need, right? What will this path entail? Am I going to need any gear? But God doesn't give us those details. He calls us to do something. He calls us to walk by faith. And there's a reason behind that. You see, if we had all the details, it wouldn't take any faith. It wouldn't take any dependence on God. We could just do everything and handle everything ourselves and try to rely on ourselves, right? But if everything is unknown, then it's going to force us to do something. It's going to force us to actively be listening for him. It's going to force us to stay close to him because that's where our provision is going to come from. There's a purpose between the lack of details. It trains us to be dependent on him. To God, it's not about the destination. Instead, it's about the journey. I'm going to get you there, but you're going to have to learn to trust me along the way. Because once you get there, you're going to need to have this faith in order to do what I'm going to call you to do. You're not ready now. This journey, though, will get you ready if you follow me. If you listen, if you stay on track, right? We don't like that, though, and so what do? We go off on our own path. This path looks better than going the way you told me, and we end up wandering around, right? The Israelites could have made it from Egypt to the promised land in 11 days. How long did it end up taking them? 40 years. 40 years of wandering in a wilderness. 40 years, though, to teach them that they could rely on the God of the universe, that they could have faith, that he would provide food for them, he would provide protection for them, he would make their sandals not be worn out, right? He had to do that because they didn't have the faith. They didn't have the trust to go into that promised land and do what he needed them to do. 40 years to mold them so that when they finally got there, they'd finally be able to trust him and do and accomplish what he had for them. When Pastor Doc left this church, I thought I was going to take his place. I wanted to take his place. Looking back, I see that I was not ready to take his place. If I would have become pastor at that time, I would have guaranteed you quit within a couple years. I was not ready. My faith was not ready. My walk with God was not ready, right? And so he took me on a journey. And I know he prepared me through different jobs and different seasons and different things. He had a lot of work to do before he could get me ready for this. I can see the times when I went in circles. I can see the trials. I can see the storms. I can see what God taught me through them, how he taught me how to depend on him instead of depending on me. I can see the miracles of God's provision and the examples of his power. And that's the things that I learned that prepared me for this place. I can see people in this church. I can see people in this church that God has given a direction to, but you bailed on it. And you're wandering in circles. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If God has given you a direction, trust him for that direction. Allow him to be faithful. We have to step out on faith if we want God to be faithful. He can't do it unless we do that. You'll never reach the destination he has for you if you do it your own way and your own timing. You got to follow him. Some people will have ears to hear. Some people will not listen. They'll refuse to move, or they'll try to go their own direction, and they'll spend 40 years wandering. Hear and follow his directions. As long as you stay where it's comfortable, in your safe place, you will never experience the supernatural. Can you hear that? As long as you stay where it's comfortable, in your safe place, and you refuse to go where God calls you, you will never experience the supernatural. Don't you want to? You'll hear about it. You'll hear about it from other people. You'll hear about it, about a person who sought forgiveness, who let things go, and God did something amazing in her life, right? You'll hear about it, but you won't get to experience. The moment you step out of your comfort zone, you step into this zone of fear. It's the fear zone because you don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know where your provisions are going to come from. You don't think that you're capable of doing it, and you're absolutely right. It's purposely a zone of fear to get you to be dependent on him. It's a scary place, but you have two choices there. Number one, go back. Go back to the recliner. Go back to that place of safety where you don't have to live by faith. You'll never experience the supernatural there. The other choice is grab onto God and don't let go. And allow him to provide for everything that you need. Allow him to be the provision that you need, the words to say. Put your trust in him. That's where you get to really experience God. That's where you get to experience the power of God. You'll never experience that from the recliner. Never. You'll just wonder, why does God not use you? Go to this mountain that I will show you. God tests Abraham. God sends him through the trial, right? God will allow us to go through storms. God will allow us to go through trials because they have the potential to silence every other voice in our life but his. God's voice can become the loudest in a storm, in a trial. I can testify to that. Why? Because it is the only voice you long to hear, the only voice you want to hear, the only voice that you're listening for, right? It's the voice that you're desperate to hear, and you're putting all in your efforts into listening for that voice. And you'll shut out every other voice that's speaking. We'll actually spend time in prayer longing to hear his voice. We'll cry out to him, and that's when we hear him the loudest. That's the potential of a storm. That's the potential of a trial. That is what can happen, but it also can be a time that we just open up a bottle of wine, a case of beer. We smoke a joint because we don't want that quiet. We don't want to think about that. We just want to be numb. We just want to fill our life with noise. I used to turn on the TV when I had anxiety. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd turn on the TV just to drown it out. But then God taught me to seek him. And when I sought him and when I opened up his word on those nights at 3 a.m., man, that's where I found the peace of God. Will we have ears to hear? Or will we just try to drown everything out? The potential is in the storm. The potential is in the trial if we'll have ears to hear, right? Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Here's something else to realize. Sometimes the place that God calls you to requires you to drop some people off. Sometimes God removes people from your life. Sometimes those people's voices are a voice that try to get you to question what God's doing, to question God's faithfulness, to question God's goodness. You can't trust God. Stay on the recliner, right? It's safer there. Or you're crazy. Sometimes those are the people who like to remind you of your past. Sometimes they're not even just reminding you of your past. They're reminding you of who you are right now. But they don't see the journey in who you will become. You got to lose those voices sometimes. And tune yourself to the one voice that matters. God has a plan to transform you. Do you have ears to hear? Will you follow his leading? He wants to sanctify you. He wants to set you apart. He has a plan for your life, but you have to hear it, and you have to listen to it, and you have to follow it. And dedication sometimes requires separation. Don't fight being alone. Sometimes I see women and are so desperate to have a person in their life, they'll compromise everything. Don't fight being alone, because that's where God's voice can be the loudest. The closer you get to God's will, the smaller the crowd is. Elijah was alone in a cave, right, when he heard that still small voice. Paul was alone in prison when God gave him a message to give to the churches. John was alone on the island of Patmos when Jesus revealed himself in the future to him. Abraham and Isaac are alone. And they claim they climbed the mountain because that's what God told them to do. They go up there. Isaac, it says that he's a boy, but he's really a late teenager. He's probably 18 or 19 years old. And he submits himself to his very old father, a father who's over 100 years old, right? He could have resisted him. He could have prevented himself from being bound, but he submits his will to his father's. We know that that is a foreshadowing of the Son of God willingly laying down his life in this very same region to the will of his father for us, right? Isaac submits himself to his father. Abraham draws back the knife because again, that's what God told him to do, right? He gets ready to plunge it into his son. But then the voice of God comes a second time, and it says this, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am," he replied. Thank God he was listening. Thank God he had ears to hear. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him." Abraham, here's another word from the Lord, a call to correct, and stops. Remember, when it's time to turn, God will speak to us. God will make his will known, right? But we have to be listening. We must have ears to hear. This is important because sometimes we have a word from the Lord from years ago, and we're operating under that. We're living on that, but he calls us to turn and we miss it. If we don't have ears to make a turn, we can end up killing our future. If Abraham wouldn't have ears to listen, he could have brought that knife down into his son and killed his future, right? That's some of us, because at one time we heard the voice of God, but then we got off path, we got living our own life, we got too busy, right, to hear from him, and we missed the call to turn. And we're missing out on our future that he's calling us to. What is God saying to you today? What is God speaking? What is the Holy Spirit laying upon your heart right now? Do you have ears to hear it? Do you want to hear it? Do you even care to hear it? Or are you just good with where you're at? Are you just comfortable? Allow him to challenge you. Allow him to take you to some place you've never been. Right? Again, are you praying? Are you spending time in prayer listening, not just giving him your list? Are you seeking his will? Are you seeking his kingdom? Are you allowing him to speak to you? Are you giving him room to speak to you? Are you reading the word and asking him to speak to you? Are you making church a priority to come to hear a message from the Lord? Are you coming to Bible study? Are you coming to the prayer time? Opportunities. Opportunities that you have at home too, to shut the TV off and allow him to speak to you. Are you doing that? Do you have ears to hear? My friends, we encourage you to read through the Bible, right? We've got the Bibles back there. They're free. You can take one. We have Bible reading plans. We'd love for you to take a Bible in one of those reading plans. That's great. You know, you can read through the Bible. We gave out the black T-shirts to celebrate those who did. 36 people did it. More this year. That's all great. You can read through the Bible in a year. You can read through the Bible in a month. But if you don't have ears to hear, what good is it? If you aren't going to do what the word says, what God speaks to you, if you're just going to check it off the list and I'm done and that's it, what good is it? If you're going to come to church and not have ears to hear, what good is it? Why bother? Do you have ears to hear? Do you want to hear? Are you asking him to speak to you? Are you asking him to soften your heart, right? Our God is a God who speaks, but are we people who listen? Listen to what God revealed to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were even a thought, God knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I called you to be different. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, talking to Jeremiah. He had a calling that God had for him. He had a job to do. My friends, do you realize that before you were born, God knew you? Do you realize that you're not a mistake here? Do you realize that the God of the universe made you exactly how you are? And he has a plan and a purpose for you? He has a job for you? We have ears to hear. We all want a fulfilled life. We all want the good life. We all want the American dream, right? A lot of us think that we know the path to get there, but God has something far better for us. He has a purposeful life for us. If we have ears to hear. God has a direction for us if we have ears to hear. The way of God is scary. Jesus said, count the cost. It's going to cost you everything, right? But my friends, God will do all the heavy lifting. God will be your provision. God will make the way, right? If you will just walk with him. This is what happened to Abraham. Verses 13 and 14, Abraham looked up. There in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, right? Do you see, do you notice something? That ram was already there and caught. God already had it there waiting. My friends, God already has all the provisions for what he's calling you to do there and waiting for you to just start walking. Waiting for you to hear and say, yes, I will obey. He's got it all. You're not going to do that. You're not going to want to do that because you're thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to pay for it? How am I going to handle it? How am I going to make it? But he's already got the provision right there to what he's calling you to do. Why? Because he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord that will provide. What is he calling you to do that you don't see how he could ever make that happen? What is he calling you to do that you're totally scared of doing? God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of boldness. But you got to take the first step. You have to be faithful and go in the direction that he calls you to do. My friends, can I just reiterate, our God is a God who speaks. He's speaking. If we have ears to hear, if you don't hear him, ask him to soften your heart. Make room to hear it. Listen for it, right? We all have ears to hear. Husbands, even wives, we all have ears to hear, but we all don't hear. Can you wrestle with that? Am I listening to God? Am I doing what he says? Right? Can you just ask yourself, what do I need to do to give God an opportunity so that there is this occasion that he can speak to me? Will you seek that? Will you look for that? Will you go after that? Will you ask for that? Will you pray for that? Will you be desperate for that? Will you wait expectantly for that? What habits do you need to develop so that you can have an opportunity to hear from God? My friends, don't wait till the end of the day to have your quiet time. What good does that do for your whole entire day if you wait for the end of the day to talk to him? Seek him in the morning. Seek him again at night, right? Allow him to direct your path. Seek him first so that you know what he's calling you to do that day, so that you can be on the same page, so that you can align with him right from the get-go. Seek him first, right? He'll give you a direction. He'll make a way. Would you stand with me? I hope you hear this. The God of the universe wants to speak to you. He's trying to speak to you. The only question is, will you have ears to hear? That's the only question. He spoke to a wretch like me. He called me. Called me when I had nothing good to offer him. He flipped my life upside down. And I know he'll do it for you as well. Amen. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, to the person here who's like, I don't even really care. I'm just here because my mom made me. My dad made me. Lord, would you soften their heart? Would you flip their life upside down? Would you just wreck them? Would you just reveal yourself to them in a way that they can't deny? To the person who's wondering if God is real, would you help them to seek you? Would you speak these words into their lives that if they will seek you, they will find you? Would you reveal yourself to them? Father, to the one that you've called, and they're in the wilderness because they said no, they're on the recliner, they're just spinning in circles. Would you call them again? Would you help them to step out on faith, Lord? Father, would you remove our recliners? Would you remove what we're resting in? Lord, would you do whatever it takes to draw us out of those areas? Lord, Father, to the one who's in the trial, to the one who's in the storm, would your voice be so loud that it drowns everything out? Would you speak to them? Would you help them to seek you with all their heart? Would you give them peace? Would you give them comfort? Would you provide a way? Would you provide provision? Father, let us be a church that's on mission. Lord, give us opportunities to share your goodness, Lord. Yes. Father, we love you and we give you praise, for you are a God who speaks. Father, let us have ears to hear. Let us do what you say. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.